There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Wonder where they go, who picks them up. This is who picks them up. This is who lures them out on the internet and they disappear or they get raped and their lives change forever. And he shouldn't even be here, but he's doing this. But they don't raise their hand and say, hey, there's somebody that doesn't even have the right to be here that's preying upon our children, and they don't tell you about it.
Exactly. And this governor, Governor Pritzker, and the mayor, they want to vilify the men and women of ICE. ICE saved children today. ICE saved children today. And it makes me angry. Governor Pritzker the other day went on the internet, social media, saying ICE was attacking our elementary school. He's scaring children. He's scaring the neighborhood, putting fear in the community. We're doing the exact opposite. We're saving children.
Well, there you have it. Tom Homan in Chicago, and he is out there, as he puts it, saving children. How would you feel about watching Donald Trump march to the presidency, making the promise the entire way to his victory in November that he was going to deport first the criminals, that Tom Homan was going to be immediately out there doing the job, and Dr. Phil's there too? What a surprise.
I didn't know we were getting Dr. Phil as part of this package.
I didn't either. It's like a little extra for the people at home. Dr. Phil was at that one final rally. Wasn't it the final rally in Madison Square Garden? And he came out there and he's like, I'm not afraid to say who I support. You know, he said, those people can't fire me because I work for me. So he came out and he started talking about, he wasn't like Donald Trump is your Lord and Savior, which is what some people just automatically thrust celebrities into saying, oh, you worship this guy and bent the knee, the phrase bent the knee. Dr. Phil came out and was talking about mental health and was talking about really his lane, which is psychiatry, and talking about the crises that we have in our country because we're not really living in a state of reality. And he supported Donald Trump initially just by being there, but then again in the words that he had to deliver that day. And now he's been to North Carolina with who was it? Was it Elon? He wasn't with Elon Musk. Who was he with? He was in the mountains of North Carolina, and they met the video that I remember seeing was there's this little old lady. She was in her 80s, and she was in this tiny little home. She was running out of food. She said she had no family. She didn't have a way to contact anyone. And there's Dr. Phil with his media organization, bringing attention to the area, providing the help that is needed, and actually making a difference. I have no problem seeing celebrities show up in this capacity, because a lot of them want to pull out their phone and preset a little stage for themselves to talk about what's going on and use that as an opportunity to elevate not the cause, but themselves. Dr. Phil is doing something a little bit different, and I appreciate it. And seeing Tom Homan in Chicago, as was promised, is an incredible sight to see. And I have to think, we're hearing from a lot of different voices in Chicago in the months leading up to the November election, but we're also still hearing these very dissatisfied voices because their mayor is an absolute joke of a disaster. J.B. Pritzker hates Brandon Johnson, maybe the most, because Brandon Johnson is adjacent to J.B. Pritzker because they're both Democrats. They're both lunatics as well, but they're both out there trying to do what is so important that we identify. They're trying to sell you a whole new vision of what your problems are so that they can solve them. They can manufacture the problems that you're facing. And then they can predetermine that they can sell you the solution. And it's even worse than that. They don't even really have to sell you a real solution to your problem. What they really need to do is sell you the boogeyman in the closet who will make those problems that they've redefined for you worse. So you got to stick with them. You got to stick with the Democrats. And then eventually it gets to the point where you've got Democrats in the city of Chicago right now looking around going, this sucks. This is an absolute disaster. Who do we talk to? Well, in Chicago, everywhere you look, you've got Democrats. And they're starting to see and speak out loud things that maybe they would not have been comfortable speaking out loud before. J.B. Pritzker is the number one buffoon in Democrat politics right now. J.B. Pritzker is the poster child for, you know, everybody else. Everybody else, if they haven't burst out of the hole that the Democrats have dug them, a lot of other Democrats are kind of like the groundhog peeking their head out of the hole to see, like, is it safe to come out? Can I come out and not be like it was down there? It was dark down there. It was scary. It was messy. It was dirty. J.B. Pritzker's like, give me the shovel. We're going to keep digging. I wonder if Illinois will get the point and make a better choice in November of 2026. Just a reminder, no term limits in the state of Illinois for governor. J.B. Pritzker could be our Lord forever. He could never leave. I think he wants to be president. Gavin Newsom has to be super happy that J.B. Pritzker is out there buffooning around like crazy, because he's even in the midst. California is on fire. And literally, while we speak, J.B. Pritzker's face is up on Fox News.
It's funny that you say that, because while you were talking about Pritzker being the number one Democrat
buffoon
coming out and saying these things and kind of drawing the limelight, I was thinking, yeah, but Gavin Newsom's right there. However, Gavin Newsom has not chosen that spotlight right now. He is in the midst of a natural disaster that may be his own doing, or at least partially. But it's because of a natural disaster. J.B. Pritzker does not have that happening in his state and is still trying to get you to pay attention to a lot of his even false claims.
Well, you could suggest that maybe what's going on in California is a natural disaster, but what's going on in Chicago is a disaster completely man-made by J.B. Pritzker. I'll even put a little bit on Bruce Rauner for trying to jump in on the let's let our virtue signal shine for all the country to see and call ourselves a sanctuary state. And if you go back and roll the tape, I called him out on that then as a Republican governor and was pretty outspoken on the things with Bruce Rauner. He was a Republican. He was better than J.B. Pritzker. But as far as Republican goes,
yeah,
I'm just telling you, still, Adam Kinzinger is going to run for governor. I'm saying it as much as I can so that he doesn't. This is a service to you people. I'm probably going to give him the idea.
Bruce Rauner again, maybe?
I don't know.
No.
I need to Google it. I think he lost and moved to Italy or something like that. I'm not even, that's not a joke. It may not be factual, but my gut reaction, if I had a gun to my head, I'd be like, I think he's in Italy. That's what I would have said.
Well, if I ever lose an election, that's what I'm doing. Even if it's for city council.
Italy?
I'm out.
City council.
I'm in Italy now.
You could go like to Pontoon Beach.
Nope.
You wouldn't have to leave Collinsville to go across the canal.
I'm not going to Pontoon Beach.
Okay.
I'm going to Venice.
That's fine.
And I'm going to ride one of those gondolas.
I don't know if they have them in Venice, Illinois. They should. That would be an attraction.
Now, if en route to Venice, Italy, I get rerouted to Venice, Illinois.
Yeah, well.
I will probably notice when I land, but if I don't, I'll just take up residence there.
Do you see Tom Homan is on right now on Fox News? He was in Chicago this weekend. He's all over the place. His sole purpose right now is to weed out the filth of our country in criminals. Criminals. These are known offenders. This is a surgical maneuver. And it's dangerous. It's really dangerous, too, which is why I see Dr. Phil going on this initial operation. These people are the worst of the worst kinds of people, and we're here subsidizing them. I mean, I don't think it's legal, but he can take the citizen criminals with him. Put them on the same plane. Make the other countries deal with them for a while, just as a little bit of retribution.
The Dr. Phil thing is smart because it's a PR game. We've got to be showing what this actually looks like. And
PR for who?
For Trump. And for Republicans, not or for Trump voters.
For Dr. Phil.
No.
It doesn't hurt him.
Correct. Thank you for the clarification.
Although it may hurt him. He's probably still making a business decision here, but it's bigger than that.
Well, there's your point. There's always going to be a narrative, and it's led by people like J.B. Pritzker, and a lot of what he's saying isn't even true, so that's important to note. But they're going to try to undercut this effort to rectify the wrong that they caused. And they're going to constantly do this. So it's really important to be showing America, just like Cops, you know, the show Cops. It was a great PR message to show what a cop's life is actually like, to be showing what these raids really are and what they're not, because of all the spin that's going to be out there, is very important right now.
I'll postulate something else. You know why J.B. Pritzker is getting so much time?
No.
Because there are no other Democrats that aren't under great amounts of scrutiny, i.e. Gavin Newsom, because of the fires. He can't be out there slapping Trump around right now for things that don't have to do with his own disasters. J.B. Pritzker is the only face in the Democrat Party who can come out right now and try to land blows on Trump. And J.B. Pritzker is not agile enough to land punches on Donald Trump. He can't do it. America's not looking at what he's doing going, yeah, but he right now, J.B. Pritzker, this is how bad the Democratic Party, this is how bad the state they are in. Well, okay, fine. We'll take J.B. Pritzker. Put him out there. Run him out there. Let him do his thing. Let him have his moment in the sun. What other Democrat is out there right now? I mean, you'll see congressional Democrats. They're all tied up in the confirmation hearings. We're going to speak with Ryan Schmelz, who is our friend at Fox News Radio. He's a Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. He's going to give us the lay of the land in Washington, D.C., at the Capitol, to tell us what's going on. Those people are pretty entrenched in their sole responsibility. They have a job to do. But if you're just talking straight up red versus blue politics, who do the Democrats have right now?
They don't really have anybody. And that's the big question. They're going, well, who's even leading the party ideologically right now? If it's J.B. Pritzker, you know what's funny about J.B. Pritzker being the face of this moment for the Democrats?
Lots.
It is a lot.
Go on.
But it's not just that he's doing a bad job. It's that he thinks he's doing a great
job.
Yeah.
Yeah. He thinks he's hitting home runs. He thinks he's landing blows, and he thinks that the Democrat Party is going to thank him later. They will, but he's just filling time. You ever listen to 2 o'clock on Friday? Just trying to get to the other side of it. That's the difference. And we have a president who's been the president for 1 week and has delivered on so many promises. He's got a lot more promises that he has to deliver on. But he is making good on the things that he told people, if you vote for me, this is what I'm going to do. And the elimination of criminal, illegal aliens in our country is very high on the approval list in a bipartisan way. It was like 70-80% get them out. And I'm always like, who are the other 20%? Are you like, we should really keep the criminals here?
Those are the same people who said Biden won the first debate.
Okay.
Or the only debate.
It's interesting to watch it unfold. And it's important for us to pay attention to who the speakers are in this moment. And when J.B. Pritzker is the leading voice, I think that bodes well for Republicans. Maybe not for Illinoisans, but well for Republicans. So it's a spirit week here on the Annie Fry Show. I'm very excited for it. We're showing our team spirit today with our apparel. You can tune in to see what teams we're each supporting here, Brad, Ryan, and myself. Why is it spirit week? Well, because it's Lutheran Schools Week. It's also School Choice Week, which is National School Choice Week Awareness Week. And I think that's a really cool tie-in with what we've been able to do here on the Annie Fry Show. And so all week, You're going to get sick of me doing this. I wish there was a way, like when you have non-commercial funded radio, just like other stations who might be donor driven, I won't name them. Like if I donate, will you stop talking about it and just play music? If you, man, if you could do that, if you could figure out how to put a quarter in the slot and then they just play music and you don't have to, yeah, I think that that would be helpful. I'm going to talk about it this week, and I'm pleading with you to help me build the Annie Fry Show scholarship for the Lutheran Elementary School Association. So area schools, we have 37 Lutheran schools here in the St. Louis area, Missouri and Illinois combined. They are amazing schools. I went to a Lutheran school, but I also send my children to a Lutheran school. And I have been talking personally after making this known to you that there are scholarships available. There are people who have reached out to me and say, how do I get this kind of help? Because I really would love to provide this for my child or my grandchild. And I'm so excited to hear that because, you know, there's a conversation that happens for families who want to have this choice, this opportunity for their children. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's way more affordable than you think it's going to be if you're looking to go to a Lutheran school. But also, on the other side of that, this choice can be provided to local families when people like you help people like me who have the opportunity to put this scholarship together. We are trying to raise $15,000 by the end of the week. I don't know how close we're going to come, but I know that I can't do it without you. The website to donate directly is Lisa with an E, Lutheran Elementary School Association, LESA.stl.org/Annie. You're going to see my face up there and you can click the donate button and you'll see, just make sure you go to the Annie Fry Show scholarship and whatever you can give. There are big amounts that you can give, but there is anything that you are willing to turn over to help a local child have a better choice for education, have a Christian education. You do not have to be Lutheran to attend a Lutheran school at all. The environment is second to none, and we're hoping to make that a possibility here in St. Louis. We've got some exciting guests coming in the 2 o'clock hour this week. Lutherans, local Lutherans, you might not know they're Lutheran. It's not the leading thing that they might say, but they have a connection or a passion for Lutheran education or Lutheran community here. Today, Scott Warman. You might have seen him on, he's a studio host for FanDuel Sports, also known as Bally, also known as Fox Sports News, whatever it is now. But you know when you're watching the Blues or the Cardinals or whatever, they go back to the studio, you know Scott, and he's a friend of mine, he's a friend of the show, and we're going to talk to him and get a sports update, but also talk to him about Lutheran education at 2:05. Can you please help me? I would love, love, love the opportunity to partner with you to make this possible for our local kids. Lisa with an E, LESASTL.org/Annie. When we come back, Ryan Schmelz from Capitol Hill on all of those confirmations that took place last week and what kind of hearings do we have in front of us this week? Some big ones, including one that has to do with this YouTube live chat poll. How much do you want to see RFK Jr. reform our health system? Not at all, some reform or complete reform. Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
After me. I, Pete Hegseth.
I, Pete Hegseth.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office of which I am about to enter.
So help you God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. Secretary.
So there you have J.D. Vance swearing in our new Secretary of Defense after a squeak by 50-50 tie in the Senate in that confirmation vote. Mitch McConnell joined Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski to vote against Pete Hegseth. But J.D. Vance found his way back to the Senate, a pathway that he has taken many times before as a United States Senator, cast the tying vote, and we do have a confirmation with our new Secretary of Defense in Pete Hegseth. Now, that was last week's news, and we know that there's a lot set forth with hearings and confirmations that are coming up here now. Why? That's why we bring our friend Ryan Schmelz back on the show with us, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent Ryan Schmelz. Thank you for being with us here today. That's a busyness last week. I think that this is just going to continue on. Ryan, give us the lay of the land there on Capitol Hill.
Well, fortunately, it will not be as busy as last week because we are not going to start the week with an inauguration. So it'll be at least a little bit lighter in that regard. And also it helps that House Republicans are down in Florida welcoming President Trump and President Vance this week for their issues conference. But, you know, this week is going to be huge for what I'm calling the big three. So you got Tulsi Gabbard, Robert Kennedy Jr., and Cash Patel all having their confirmation hearings after some serious delays over the last couple of weeks. But, you know, these are probably the three that are going to be the most contentious and face the toughest uphill climb to getting confirmed outside of Pete Hegseth. Though I would add Lori Chavez DeRemer as somebody to watch, too.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz on Capitol Hill with Fox News Radio. Do you have a sense that, you know, if the same three wanted to vote against these future nominees here, they could do that. J.D. Vance can break the tie and, you know, a win's a win in the win column. Is there more speculation with any of the three coming up here this week that maybe it won't be as simple?
It probably won't be. And the reason I say that is, number one, after you see the Hegseth nomination end with a tie, now you know that Mitch McConnell could be somebody we might want to watch as a game changer with a lot of these votes. And certainly I think Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins were people we were always watching for. But each nominee is different. There's different concerns that Republicans have about them, and there might be some things that Democrats like about them. So when you take somebody like Robert Kennedy Jr., he runs the risk of losing Republicans because he's been a Democrat his whole life. Certainly he has a vaccine stance that's controversial to some people. And at the same time, with the fact that he's a Democrat, he might be able to get some Democrats on board with voting for him because, you know, they're not going to find anybody who's more to the left on abortion than RFK Jr. That's just the simple reality of it. So that might be an opportunity to get some more on board. But also you look at somebody like Tulsi Gabbard, also somebody who was a Democrat in Congress, had a pretty progressive voting record during her time here, also endorsed Bernie Sanders during the 2016 presidential election cycle. That might be something that's a concern for Republicans, especially with some of her past statements on the Assad regime, some of her past statements on Russia. That might be an issue for a number of Republicans, but there could be some Democrats who might flirt with the idea of voting for her.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz right now. Ryan, so, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking Donald Trump, he just wants to get him across the finish line. How the sausage is made doesn't so much matter to him. He's got bigger fish to fry at this point in time, so he doesn't need to micromanage it. But how much influence, how much frequency and communication is there between the president of the United States, Donald Trump, and these senators who will have the ability to vote for or against his nominees?
Well, I think there's a decent amount of communication between President Trump as well as the Republicans who are in leadership. Now, a lot of the ones that are in leadership are not the ones that President Trump has to worry about when it comes to potentially being a no vote on a number of his nominees. So the extent to which maybe somebody like Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski is talking with President Trump, I'm not quite sure about that. But like you said, I think President Trump's goal is just to get some of these members over. There was this time briefly where President Trump was flirting with this idea of recess appointments, what essentially would be that Congress would have to go into recess and then they can appoint these nominees without Senate confirmation. But even some of Trump's most staunchest allies have kind of shot down that idea and said the best way to do this is the traditional way, which is hearing, vote out of committee, then vote on the Senate floor.
Well, Ryan, you know, a lot of that has to do what are the tools in our toolbox, and the recess appointment one is the tool that's way down there deep into the back, and you kind of got to dig to get it, and then you pull it out and you're like, gosh, I hope this is still a good idea when you pull it out to use it. But I'm wondering about the Mitch McConnell vote against Pete Hegseth, the Mitch McConnell votes that might come in the future. This guy, just not too long ago, was the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, and now he looks like he's in the vast minority of the majority, voting against the nominees of President Trump. I haven't heard a whole lot from Mitch McConnell. What's the status of his ability to have influence or impression on the Republicans in the Senate right now?
Well, he certainly has a lot of influence just for the simple fact that they have a slim majority, and every single vote against one of Trump's nominees is going to be costly. And like you said, Mitch McConnell has kept a pretty low profile ever since he stepped down from leadership. And for the most part, for somebody in leadership, he always kept a low profile. He didn't talk to the media much. He would not give hallway interviews. He was somebody who, if you wanted statements from him, you had to wait for his weekly press conference. And now he's not a part of those weekly press conferences. So it's really hard to gauge what Mitch McConnell is thinking and what he's doing, unless he's out there giving an exclusive interview to a certain outlet. But yeah, I think he's going to be an X factor moving forward. And what's ironic about this whole thing, Annie, is that last time Donald Trump was president, 2016, 2017, he was reliant on Mitch McConnell to get his nominees across the finish line and getting his judges confirmed. Now he might be the biggest thorn in Trump's side.
Yeah, it's really politics, I guess. The tables are always turning. What's it like now? How long have you been reporting on Capitol Hill? When did you start?
I've been reporting on Capitol Hill, I think it'll be 2 years now. I was kind of flip-flopping between here and the White House before that, but now solely Capitol Hill, still White House here and there.
So you've got two stark administrations to compare here, majority differences to compare here. What kind of access are you being given? What kind of opportunities are you being given right now to get to answers from people who represent those American taxpayers and voters?
I think it's a decent amount. You know, I think when you talk about somebody like Leader Thune, he's a lot more accessible than Mitch McConnell was. You know, Thune will talk to the press in the hallways. Thune does a pretty good amount of hits on whether it's Fox or some other news outlets. And, you know, he takes a good amount of questions at his weekly press conferences. So he's certainly somebody I think is a little more accessible and a little more out there and in the open than Mitch McConnell was. And, you know, Speaker Johnson, I think he's kind of gotten used to being in the spotlight a little bit more. A lot more willing to take questions as he's leaving the speaker's office and walking to the House floor. Maybe wasn't like that when he first got the gavel, but becoming a lot more, I think, accessible than he used to be. And keep in mind, too, Speaker Johnson followed Kevin McCarthy, who I think probably did about 5 press gaggles a day when he was a speaker for that brief period of time. So it's a little bit different than Speaker Johnson, not as accessible and not as out there in the open. But I think he's getting a little bit more out in the open and taking questions a lot more than he used to.
Ryan, I've seen this discussed on X a lot. And it's, you know, just because you see it on X doesn't mean it's true, but it means it might be true. People are suggesting that there is a Democrat senator who is considering flipping their party. And I've seen a lot of high profile people retweeted. A lot of people think it's John Fetterman. There are some very far left progressive things about John Fetterman. Is any of that sound like that might be within the realm of possibility that there might be a Democrat senator that is looking to change parties?
I've heard it briefly floated. I've seen it shot down more times than I've seen it confirmed. So I think that it's highly unlikely John Fetterman flips. He's made it very clear just because he's taken some stances and made some statements, whether it's about Israel or being open to negotiating with Republicans on a bill like H.R. 2 or the Laken Riley Act. He's made it clear he's still a Democrat. I mean, I believe when he was campaigning and going back to when he was a candidate for previous offices, he's pretty far to the left on an issue like healthcare. You know, John Fetterman, I believe, supports Medicare for all. So he aligns more with the Bernie Sanders wing of his party than he might with the more of the moderate wing on an issue like healthcare. But I think because of the certain issues that have been in the news, whether it's border or whether it's Israel, he probably has come off as a hardline moderate or even to the right on some issues, when in fact, he still is a Democrat. He still endorsed Bob Casey for re-election. He still supported President Biden. So I don't know. If it's anybody, I think that's the only one I've heard, you know, discussed. But I haven't heard anything hard evidence that would give you any indication that he's actually going to pull the trigger and switch parties at this point.
Sometimes I think that his opinions might be more popular among other people who are Democrats in the Senate, but he just has no fear in saying them out loud. Some of those thoughts might be a little more internal for people in his own party. Before we let you go, I want to move over to the House real quick. There's a super slim majority there. How's Mike Johnson doing managing the Republicans in the House? And is he going to be able to get the job done for Donald Trump that he needs to get done?
I think it comes down to what they're going to try to do with this big, one big, beautiful bill that Trump is talking about, the reconciliation package, what they try to put in it, and what they ultimately can get through. You know, when you have just two votes or so that you can lose, it is quite the challenge. And the majority is only getting slimmer because you got Elise Stefanik leaving. You have Michael Waltz, who's already left. Matt Gaetz's seat has not been filled yet. So the numbers keep going in the wrong direction for House Republicans. But if Mike Johnson's able to get this through, there will be a lot of people who are happy. From what I understand, from what sources have told me, is that when he has been meeting with President Trump, whether it's with John Thune or separately, but they did have a meeting at the White House not too long ago, and Johnson made it very clear that they've got to do something about government spending if they're going to do anything about this reconciliation package. And sometimes when you talk about spending cuts, there can be some good things in there that are costly. But if they are in fact able to utilize DOGE, find certain parts of government waste where they can find those cuts and stick that into the reconciliation package, they could find a win. But it's just going to be very difficult when you're talking about a package this big with so many things that could go wrong or turn one member off or another member off and get them to vote no.
Ryan, what's the deadline on the one big beautiful bill, or maybe the two that we've heard the president say he would be okay with?
Yeah, there's no real timeline for it. I think the timeline that's more notable is that you do have a March 14th government funding deadline that Republicans are going to have to do something about at some point. And maybe they'll need Democrats to get on board if they're going to do something like a continuing resolution, which would be an extension of government funding, which is the most likely outcome at this point. But from what I'm hearing, I think they want to have something maybe by the end of February in terms of bill text for reconciliation. But I think we're still kind of trying to figure out what ultimately their approach is going to be.
Well, Ryan Schmelz, it's a pleasure to have you on. We're going to work on getting you in here pretty regularly now so we can get that start of the week setting of what's taking place on Capitol Hill. Because when you've got a Republican majority in both chambers of Congress and a Republican president, things can go pretty quickly. And we're looking forward to your coverage of it.
Looking forward to it, Annie. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ryan Schmelz. We appreciate you. He's the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. You can follow him on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox. Go follow him for all the updates. We're going to take a quick break. Wiggins America, we come back, the Monday Roundup. The stories you might have missed over the weekend. Ryan Wiggins is going to give us that update in just a few minutes. Don't go away. Gosh, this is such a great song. And every time we play this song, I say, what does this remind you of?
Jumping.
Anything else? Anything else? Anybody?
Jumping beans.
Jumping beans?
Yeah, jumping beans.
That's weird.
I'm going to stick on the jumping theme here.
Reminds you of jumping, too?
Yeah, I'm a jumping guy as well. Annie.
Don't you remember the Pringles guy?
Yes.
The commercial?
I remember you talking about it more than the commercial.
This is the same conversation. This is verbatim the same conversation we have every time this song plays. And the, oh yeah, one from
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
No, it's from the Twix commercial. Yes. And they're like, oh gosh.
Oh, I remember those.
Remember when we were kids and we had four channels of TV to watch and you just watched the same television channel over and over again?
Commercials.
I remember the commercials more than
they were an art form.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess to some extent they still are, but they were.
Some people think so.
Part of the national conversation much more back then than they are now.
I would really love it if anybody remembers Pringles Jump Around to tell me that in the YouTube channel to make sure this is not some butterfly effect or Mandela effect thing. Not butterfly effect. Mandela? Isn't that where you like remember something?
It is, yeah.
Mandela effect, yeah.
Like Chick-fil-A, does it have a C in the chick or not?
C, you mean a K?
Ooh, what? Which, is it a C or a K?
Chick, is it CK or is it K?
It's CK.
It's just, no.
Yes, it is.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Told you.
I thought it was just a C. Somebody. Wiggins!
Oh. I actually, before you started, wanted to talk. a little bit about our scholarship that we're doing here. Our fundraiser this week, we're raising money for helping local kids. So this money that we raise stays here in the St. Louis area. If you can hear us, there are like 37, maybe more. I was in Jersey County this weekend, and we come in crystal clear in Jersey County. That was so cool to see, because that's up there. We're in Jerseyville. But if you are in the listening area right now and you are interested in supporting Lutheran education, I need your help. LESA, that's Lisa, STL.org/Annie. That's what we are doing to raise $15,000 to establish a scholarship. If we raise $15,000, the reason that's our goal, we can get a $10,000 match and we can have a scholarship that is endowed. And I'm just incredibly privileged and honored to be able to have this opportunity to grow this, but I really, really need your help. So if you've got $10 to spare, $100 to spare, whatever you have to spare, if Lutheran education has touched your heart, Lisa with an E, LESASTL.org/Annie. Okay, now you can go.
That's good stuff. All right.
Thank you.
Monday Roundup. This is what you missed over the weekend, although this first story, I'm going to guess most people probably paid at least a little bit of attention to this. Did you guys watch any NFL this weekend?
No.
Mm-mm. No, okay. Because even I was watching the scores. I wasn't watching it on live TV, but I was paying attention.
I did indeed watch.
I figured you did at least. But for a few seconds Sunday night, Jim Nantz and the CBS score bug gave the Bills some hope during the fourth quarter of the AFC Championship game. Is this a story that you're following, Ethan?
No.
Okay. Josh Allen's final heave that went through the hands of a diving Dalton Kincaid had fallen incomplete.
Yep.
So it was kind of like, okay, that's the game, right? So this moment is the Bills' chance was to tie the game, what ended up being their final offensive snap Sunday.
Bills played the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, yep. It evaporated in a loss right then, but in the aftermath of that play, Jim Nantz, the play-by-play broadcaster, said that there'd been a flag thrown and the network added its yellow graphic to the score bug at the bottom of the screen. I didn't see a flag thrown there, said Tony Romo. I'm told there's a flag, Nantz replied. There was no flag. That really was the end of the game. But if you were watching it and you're a Bills fan, you had to be freaking out going, wait, there's hope. There was nothing.
Yeah, I do remember this going on last night, but I didn't know that it had been made like into an actual story and that there was actual some movement behind this. But that was really interesting. I am curious, you know, I mean, all those broadcasters, you know, at that big of a level have people in their ear, producers in their ear, telling them when to go to break, when different things are happening. They have stat people next to them that are sharing a bunch of different information with them.
Ethan does the same thing for me on this show. Everything that I say really goes through Ethan.
Basically,
which is a really powerful position.
That you're doing especially this for the things Annie. About you, yeah. Ryan.
Who do you think writes those monologues?
It's not me. It's not a full team. It's just you.
Ethan loves to say dramatically. Go on.
I kind of struggle with it sometimes.
But this is what she would say, so he writes it in there.
Don't be so dramatic.
But anyway, someone had to have, like he said, someone had to have told him that there was a flag. So I would be curious. I mean, we'll never know. But I would be curious as to what someone saw to make them think that there was a yellow flag
on
the field.
If Nantz was told in his ear that there was a flag, and Nantz looks like a doofus right now for saying that. Should Nantz tell everybody that somebody told him that? Should he out that it was somebody else, or should he just say...
Well, he did say that in the broadcast. He said, well, I'm being told that there is a flag. So he wasn't throwing anybody under the bus, but he was referencing...
He's giving home addresses.
Yeah, exactly. The question, though, is, Ethan, if you're always in Annie's ear, who is in your ear right now telling you what to say?
It's just Brad. Divinely inspired.
It's Brad.
It's Brad.
Okay. All right. All right, next story. Post Malone just got his own Oreo flavor.
I'm really happy for him.
Me too.
I love Post Malone.
Me too. I feel like he needs more attention and product placement. It is, though, it sounds fantastic. He calls it the best Oreo ever, of course. The rapper turned
country
star.
Be awesome if he was like, it's my Oreo. It's all right.
Yeah. It's not what I would have chosen.
It's okay.
But, you know, they needed a new flavor. He says it is a salted caramel and shortbread cream between both a chocolate cookie and a golden cookie.
So it's something for everybody.
I mean... This sounds like it might be the perfect Oreo.
It's the DEI of Oreos.
I guess it is.
Caramel? You got it.
Yeah. Salted caramel.
You bet.
Shortbread.
Chocolate.
I'm beside myself. I'm like, how did you create the perfect Oreo? And where do you go now?
Is the original Oreo the best Oreo?
I actually like the golden cream filled better.
I'd prefer them.
You like the original better?
No.
The golden cream better. Ethan?
Oh, it's such a hard decision.
Oh, no, I was actually asking you if that's what she really believed.
I just told you.
You're not following the script, Ryan. We're not supposed to talk about it.
Ah, you're right.
Anytime you encounter like a traditional Oreo, though, if it's like an ice cream topping or something like that, aren't you like, gosh, this is just great?
Mm. Yeah, I got no problems with any cookies and cream flavors.
I feel like it's, I never choose it, but every time I have it, I'm like, this is great. You guys should try this.
As long I prefer them all double stuffed, though.
Me too.
Is anyone else like just regular thin? I don't know how people do the thin ones. I'm like,
no,
you're like taking away the best part.
And I'll tell you what, that is the one brand name that you just can't get an off-brand. If you try a different brand, they're their own thing.
But they are the off-brand.
That's what they are. You know, they're not Oreos. And they're not close to Oreos.
What are we talking about? Right, but Hydrox was the original one.
That doesn't make Oreo the off-brand.
So Oreo was the imitator, and they surpassed Hydrox.
They clearly know what they're doing.
I've never even heard of that.
Really?
No.
Go look in the bottom of an old person's freezer.
Ryan, I'm coming over after work.
No. That was a good one. But yeah. I was picturing you just walking into somebody's house and being like, I'm going to need to see your freezer. All right.
Open the freezer.
I'm on the radio. A quaddemic is apparently hitting the U.S. right now. Any ideas as to what a quaddemic might be?
Is it four different pandemics?
Yeah.
Run that through the proper channels, Brad. You were supposed to tell Ethan. I didn't know.
It is four different pandemics going on at once.
Four-demics.
Four-demics.
Yeah.
That's right,
that's
Annie.
That's what we do.
Genius again.
Signs of the demics. I think Pritzker is one of them.
Yeah, four signs of the apocalypse. Influential.
What?
Come on now. Come on. Influential.
Man, Ethan, you should do some work with him. Help him out a little bit.
If you can tell, I'm the only one on the whole show that doesn't have somebody in my ear.
Oh, we can tell.
Influenza, COVID-19, RSV and norovirus are all at very high levels around the country.
So wait a second. Flu.
COVID. RSV. Norovirus.
That's every summer. That's every winter.
That's what I was saying. The whole time I'm reading this, I'm going, isn't this every winter?
We just called it a quaddemic so that people would be scared and Democrats would be like, see?
Exactly. Exactly. And people will wear
their
masks.
And I'm like, I see. It's the same as every winter. Everyone's sick.
I don't know if I can ever hear the word
demic.
Pandemic and not associated with what we went through in 2020 now. So anything that is below that level or is not involved like significant amounts of people dying, I'm not even going to be able to, I feel like, associate it with a pandemic.
The other thing too with like Ethan, how old were you? What year were you when COVID hit?
I was 19, 20 years old.
College.
Yeah.
Did you stay home from college then?
I was at community college, so I was already at home, yeah.
You know, if you experienced this, I would say almost even younger than Ethan did, if you experienced COVID and that lockdown, you don't realize how abnormal and outrageous it was.
Yes.
Because you haven't lived enough of your own independent life to understand how much you pulled back. Ethan, you probably have a little bit more of an understanding of that, having been closer to your 20s. But if, you know, for our children who just did school for a year at home, they just think that that's like a possibility. It's like a really long snow day. You have them. They don't happen very often, but they happen.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't happen.
It's just amazing at that age that you can just tell a kid this is the way it is. And they just go, oh, okay.
Oh, I do stuff like that all the time.
I mean, it's good, but it's also like surprising that they're just so adaptable.
I remember being so excited that, I get a week off of school. This is great. And then a week became two, and then two became a month, and then all of a sudden it was October, and I still hadn't been back to class.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, 2020 was a unidemic, This is a quaddemic.
Ah, flu.
So clearly, don't leave your house.
Neurovirus.
Influenza, COVID-19, RSV, and neurovirus.
Reconnected with your bathrooms.
Yep, yep. And that's the other thing, is if you're getting these things, apparently they are at kind of high levels. So that's why you're hearing so many people go, well, I got symptoms of this and I got symptoms of that. Nobody knows what they have, because you could have any number of multiple things at the same time.
Yeah.
So everybody's dealing with it. It's going around. Obviously, everybody's talking about it because people are missing work and school like crazy right now.
Another good reason to work on your healthiest version of you, because if you get neurovirus and you're a healthy person, you're going to do better with that than if you were an unhealthy person. If you get the flu and you're a healthy person, if you get COVID and you're a healthy person, that helps, which goes to our YouTube live chat poll for today. How much do you want to see RFK Jr. reform our health system? Not at all, some reform or complete reform. If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can vote there. Can't wait to hear how you guys shake down on this. The other thing is, please, please, please help us this week raise funds to establish the Annie Fry Show Scholarship for Lutheran education in our listening area, Illinois, Missouri alike. Will you help us? It's Lisa with an E, LESASTL.org/Annie. We're trying to get to $15,000 and we cannot do it without you. LESASTL.org/Annie. Steve Moore next.